Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. This is a day to rejoice in. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I rejoice in this day. We have a lot to rejoice over. Why? Because God is with us to help us. He's with us in fine detail. He'll help us in every way. He loves us so much. We are so precious to Him. And you know, when you receive His love and walk in His love, God becomes so precious to you. You become so enthused about obeying Him and doing His word. You know, no matter what happens in your life, the Lord is with you and He can make the difference. He can make that difference. He can make the difference good. When you handle things His way and operate according to His wisdom, you can live no different than He does. In this life, you can represent Him. Every day, we can represent God to everybody we come in contact with by being kind, by loving them like Jesus loves us. And it's beautiful. I love it. I want to see God move in our lives. I want to see God do things in our lives because He cares about us so much. And I want to do all that's in His heart. I don't want to do things my way and make a mess. I want to do things God's way and see Him move. And I know, and it's a comfort to know that we can. Now, sometimes people try to do it. Sometimes people try to serve God with a worldly understanding. And one of the biggest problems, I was thinking about this earlier, if you serve God and you have a worldly understanding, it's going to come out in what you do. And you're going to have problems that the Lord can't sanction. Now, in other words, you'll yield in places you shouldn't yield. If a person has pride, for instance, the enemy is going to pull those jealous pride strings and move your ministry off course because your focus is off course. Your life will always follow your focus. And the only way to stay safe and do a perfect work in an imperfect world is to watch Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Govern your life by all that He says. Let the things of God sink down deep in your heart. One time Jesus said, let these sayings sink down deep in your ears. One time He said, avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. He showed His disciples what to watch out for. So they did perfect works in life. They did well. They didn't deviate. It's hard to find a place where they did deviate because they listened. They let those words that Jesus taught sink down deep in their ears. And that's what we need to do. When we follow Him, when we obey Him and do His word and let those words of His sink down deep in our ears, then we can do and perform what He says. And it works. Now, as we go forward in life, doing the things of God, speaking His word, we learn. We don't just learn from what God says, but He's talking to people. He's addressing people. We're like a witness. He's using us as a tool in His hand. When He gives us revelation, He's using us. We're yielded to Him. And when we're speaking to people and they have problems. And we can see how God is solving problems and helping people avoid problems and helping people go forward, helping people have courage, helping people be aware of the enemy, helping people overcome the enemy, helping people stabilize in their faith walk, helping people to see the need to receive the fruits of the Spirit and govern our lives by the fruits of the Spirit. The only way to become fully mature is to be equipped with the fruits of the Spirit. Now remember, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, let your light therefore shine. The fruits of the Spirit is not something you have to manufacture. It's already there for you. All you have to do is receive it and walk in it. We were made holy, so it's our nature to operate according to the fruits of the Spirit. All we have to do, if we want to master walking in the fruits of the Spirit, you can speak it with your mouth just like anything else by faith. That's good. But also you have to reject opportunities to cross the line. It's easier to just receive the love of God and be a friend to people. Be kind to people. When people are frustrated and they're on the verge of cussing you out or attempting to fight, speak soft words according to the Proverbs. Soft words turn away wrath. Be a friend. When people are frustrated, that's when they need you to be a friend the most. That's when they need you to be a listener. Try to get to the bottom of the problem. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Actions and the way you handle something speaks much louder than words can in some cases. But when you do it God's way, and God will give you that on-the-spot wisdom, He will. If you pay, all you have to do is look for it. He'll give you that on-the-spot wisdom, and He'll help you to represent Jesus to a person that's frustrated. And if normally they don't act that way, something is wrong. And all you have to do is get to the bottom of it. You can solve doubts. Sometimes the enemy has been in people's ear telling them the worst things about you. And they don't know your story and background and history and why you do things the way you do. And we can also pray that the Lord will open a door for things to be explained. Just like we ask the Lord to open the door for opportunities to minister to people and get them saved. Sometimes the people around us may have an offense from something that's forgotten. And as the body of Christ, we have to protect the most holy relationships that we have. Now, sometimes that can be a rift and you don't realize it. Or people may work against you and they don't realize, they're acting on worldly information or satanic information. And his information is painted up to look decent. It don't look shady. And that's why in warfare, when there's a problem, a continual problem with a person, I tell Satan, I say, Satan, you can't use them against me and you can't use me against them, because Satan is slick. And see, if I just say, Satan, you can't use them against me, and I have some kind of hidden ill feelings against them or some kind of misunderstanding, then he'll use my words and my vocabulary, my strife against them. Even though I don't mean any harm. But when you say something, it's said. And he can twist the words around. He'll doctor it up and make people offended. Nevertheless, we have to walk in the love of God. And the fruits of the Spirit will help us do it. The fruits of the Spirit came with salvation. Apostle Paul just pointed out what they were. Love, joy, meekness, goodness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We just have to walk according to the love of God. And, faith says give everybody a chance. Faith says believe the best about God's people. One time I said, Lord, I want you to put an anointing on my life so that I can write something and it becomes worldwide notable, like the poem Footprints. Somebody wrote a writing called Footprints, and they published it, and it just went viral without the internet. See, people copied it, and everybody wanted to copy it. And under the bottom of it said unknown author. Now, I said, Lord, I want you to give me such an anointing. He said, well, don't talk about my people. And it made me think. I said, wait a minute, And it caused me to wonder, what have I been saying? If I talk about people, I don't mean it in an ill way. So I started watching what I say, because the anointing, he didn't say I couldn't have that anointing. He said, well, don't talk about my people. So I said, Lord, how can I do this? What, obviously, chatter, something I'm saying that's hindering you from giving me this anointing. I said, what can I do? He said, if you're tempted to say anything negative about a person, speak 10 good things about them. And that taught me something. Just because there's something negative, that doesn't mean that a person's not valuable. So I started to practice that. Now, in the shop where I used to work, we would carry on and joke, not to hurt somebody's feeling, but just to make the day go by. We crack on each other. And sometimes people say terrible things, but we know we're friends and we don't, it doesn't mean anything. So I started using positive jokes. And I said to my friend Chris, I said, you're so grumpy because you're smart and you expect everybody to be smart as you. And everybody ain't smart like you. You're different. And we just carry on, just to make the day go by. Or I'll try to trick my friend, the ones that's smart like that, I'll try to trick them. And I play pranks on them, things like that. But it's just for fun, and they know that, and we know that. And they make a joke out of everything. And sometimes it can hurt people's feelings. But I wanted that anointing. I don't want to cross the line. So what the Lord told me is true. If the anointing, he'll give it to you. He would give me that anointing I was after if I would bridle my tongue and not cross the line. And years ago, me and Wesley would make jokes about everybody all day, after lunch. And we probably shouldn't have been doing that. And that was kind of around the time the Lord told me that. We had a good time. But you have to do things God's way even when you're having fun. And when he said my people, he's talking about all people, because he made everybody. He died for everybody. And we need to treat everybody just like Jesus treat us. Even the goofy ones, even those that are hard-headed. Even though, sometimes people just, they act out because they're frustrated, they have other problems. But they need you to be a loving friend to them. Some people are obnoxious in their way. They used to get in their way, and they let their voice be known, and some people don't like that. But guess what? A person that will stand their ground is necessary. And there was a lady. She's that way. Sweet lady. Otherwise, she's sweet, but she'll tell you. If you offend it, she's gonna tell you, so you can and you have to deal with it. And one day I was telling Lawrence, I said, everybody is useful to God. And I called her name. I said, she might save somebody's life one day. God can use everybody. And the very same night, that evening, she stopped a lady from committing suicide. And she had done, she was kind to that lady. And then the lady said, well, bye-bye, I'm finna go. And she said, what do you mean? You finna quit? She said, no, I'm gonna kill myself. Nobody loves me. And she talked her out of suicide. And, the very same day, I said that she might talk to somebody. It happened. So God, we need every type of personality. If you live long enough, you'll learn to value everybody's personality. Now, everybody's version of walking in the Spirit is different because they have varied personalities and outlooks on life. Some people don't laugh much. Some people laugh too much. Some people are quiet. Some people are noisy. Some people, when they come in the room, they're there because they talk loud and they talk like thunder. But they're necessary. Just watch. If you don't believe me, just watch. Everybody's necessary. All we need them to do is believe on Jesus Christ, and God can use their outrageous personality. And it's all right to be outrageous. Sometimes we need outrageous. Sometimes we need silence. Sometimes we need laughter. But the fruits of the Spirit is supposed to remain stable in our lives. And then we can learn to appreciate the variety of God. See, when I say be Christ-like, that don't mean act in Christ's personal character. It's his ways. It's what he taught in your personality. That's what, see, your personality is your personality. Just govern it by the words of Christ. A person that talks a lot or is very vocal, that's necessary, especially if you're an evangelist. A quiet evangelist will get people killed. You got to be out there and you got to vocalize. And I'm glad God didn't call me to be an evangelist, because when I didn't know how to break the ice with people. I'm a thinker. I'm a thoughtful. I think a lot, and I like to I like to analyze things. And I happen to be a mechanic. I might be a mechanic because I like to get to the root cause of things. I like to understand how things work. And I'm naturally good at that. And I don't know if I'm a good mechanic because he put that. I like to know how things work. When I talk to the Lord, I ask him why are things the way they are. And I'm kind of like an engineer. I talk to the engineering side of God. How things work. He taught me how he made the universe. He said everything comes from love, holiness, and wisdom. He governs everything. All the attributes come from, he simplified it for me. So if you got love, holiness, and wisdom, and he taught me the intricacies of how if a person has love in them, love has to be stabilized and balanced by purity, holiness. Now, I'm not talking about rules and regulation holiness. I'm talking about a pure life. I have to say pure life because there was once a holiness church or a Pentecostal church that said they were holiness. And that version of holiness, you don't do this, you don't do that, you can't wear this, you can't wear that. It was regulation, almost like the law. But when I say holiness, I mean pure love, innocent, sincere, unfeigned, unadulterated love. It's a stern position in not doing evil to anyone. That's what I mean when I say holiness. But he said holiness because I said, what is your definition of holiness? See, sometimes you can ask, it's obvious what holiness is, but I asked anyway because I wanted to be able to describe it in a way people can get it. He said, holiness is supreme purity. That's the kind of purity that's on the top shelf. That's the most expensive purity. It's first class purity. That's what holiness is. So now let's move beyond holiness. It's all love, and if you have love and holiness, now to secure it, you're going to have to be wise. You're going to have wisdom. Now, wisdom will balance out love so that it will always be love. If a person has a lot of love and he's rich, without wisdom, he'll go out passing out money. If you give money to the wrong person, they'll come and take the rest of it. Wisdom will give you judgment, how to help people stand on their own two feet, how to inspire people to get up and go to work, how to give them what they need so they can get on their feet. If their body's ill and they can't work, we're going to pray for you, you're going to get healed. You're going to take care of yourself. Wisdom is going to help the person for real. Giving them money won't last as long as helping them for real. Finding out what they need. Ministering to their soul. Helping them overcome their frustrations that's holding them back. Some people, they can't hold a job because they're too frustrated. They've been wounded in life and they don't know how to recover. They're not just all people that you see on the side of the road panhandling. Sometimes they've been devastated. They don't know how to go get a job. They don't know. It's a lot of, they need somebody to help them. Some of them are charlatans. Some of them are, you know, they're homeless. Nobody will hire them because they're dirty. They can't get a bath. You know, it's a lot of problems that exist. When they go to the shelter, they get in a fight. They have to leave. And nobody cares about them. And they're so wounded in life that they don't know how to bounce back. Now, I thank God for ministries like the Foundry and like the Salvation Army, Jimmy Hill Mission. They help people. But if you have an alcohol problem or a drug problem, you need ministry. You know, you need somebody to minister to you to get you back to where you got to be. That's where love and holiness and wisdom comes in. You can minister to people and get them up again. And you can minister to people help them not fall down in the first place. So all forms of ministry is very necessary. Now, as we minister to people and learn God's word and do his word, we can be effective. So when we follow God and we obey him, we can do these things. It comes natural. The love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God balances love. Wisdom also balances holiness. Holiness also balances wisdom. It takes holiness and love to balance out wisdom. Keep wisdom, wisdom. It takes love and wisdom to balance out holiness. To keep supreme purity, supreme purity. See, if they all three stay in their original condition, now you can trust the logic behind it. And the Lord taught me this. I wrote a paper on it. And the Lord, you know, I share it with people because my personality or my makeup or the way God designed me, I like to understand how things work and why. And I believe there are no dumb questions. If you want to know something, ask questions. So one day I said, Lord, what's your definition of wisdom? Now, I'm going to give you a definition, but it's not the dictionary definition. This came straight from the Holy Spirit. And he said, wisdom is the trust of truth. It's the trust of truth. Sometimes, if you're outside and you hear something, and you don't know, your wisdom will say, where did it come from? What kind of noise was it? Is it a ferocious animal or is it a bird? Will it attack you? You know, wisdom, trust is out there. That's not the argument. Where did it come from? It's the trust of truth. You know that there are traps out there. You know there are wild animals and you hear something. You know, you don't know what it is, but you trust the truth that it's there. If you're walking on a cliff, on the edge of a cliff, wisdom will say, watch your footing, because if you fall, you'll get terribly hurt or even die. Wisdom will say those jagged rocks will cut you in pieces, and the fall will destroy it'll break every bone in your body. Keep your footing. Wisdom is the trust of truth. So when the Lord speaks, you know that that he's saying something you need. Wisdom will say, receive it. Treat it like it's true. Treasure it like it's good. Wisdom is the trust of truth. Wisdom can look beyond the happenstances of time. Wisdom will say, you want to help a person, but I have to. But you know, if I do this, then this, you know, you can see a scenario for me. Or if I do it that way, I see a scenario for me. You want to help. You want to, but how? The love in you is, it turns into compassion. You want to help the person because you hate their poverty. You hate that situation that's plaguing them. And you love that person. See, love, I was taught that love and hate together is compassion. You love somebody enough to do something. See, love is a verb. But what do? I don't know what to do. Wisdom does. Wisdom is the trust of truth. And then you got to do it in a way that is pure. And it'll come across right. So, if I help a woman, for instance, she can, you know, wisdom is saying that she can take this the wrong way. She could take this as if you're interested in her. And you want to help her. How do I do it? So, one time I had money I wanted to give. I said, Lord, what do I give? I had a 20. I said, Lord, I'm going to give this. What do I give it? And he showed me a vision of my next door neighbor's house. And she had 5 children. And I said, I can't go over there and give her this money. She could take that the wrong way. So I got my wife to do it. I said, take her this money. And she did. And wisdom. You have compassion. You want to help. You want to do something. And wisdom will give you the way to do it. That way everything stay balanced. Everything stay like it should be. And the goals of God are done. When you help people, you know, there's a way to do everything so that nothing will be taken the wrong way. And you have you speak the truth in love. And you do what's right in love. All these things work together, and it's necessary. The church, Jesus once said that the world, I'm going to mess it up if I don't read it. This is in Luke chapter 10. And God has a way of doing things. And his ways are perfect and better than